Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. This week, I'm delighted to welcome back to the show Angela O'Meara. She's a delightful person. She has a wonderful English accent. I love to listen to her. And she's brilliant at PR. She is also the author of Lipstick, Laptops, Life, The Rise and Fall and the Rise Again of the Modern Businesswoman, which is a business inspiration book that helps women lead a more fulfilled career and balanced life. And she's the author of Lights, Camera, Action, which is all about the power of PR, which is what we're going to be talking about today. Angela is the president of the Professional Image Incorporated, which is a PR firm in California, in Orange County, that has been involved in the media for over 20 years. She was born and raised in Manchester, England, and moved to the United States in 1980. So she's a well-traveled lady. I love to hear her stories about when she goes back home. She's also a frequent lecturer on how to effectively market a business, and Angela specializes in strategic marketing and public relations campaigns for small and large businesses. Angela, it's summer's over, and it's time to get back to business. So welcome to the show, and how are you?
Thank you so much, Denise, for having me on the show today. I am great, thank you. Even if it is Friday, I'm doing great. How about you? How are you?
We're good. I was telling you in the green room a few minutes ago that we don't have a green room, y'all. We really don't. It's just a joke. But I was telling you that, you know, we had a terrific storm. I'm in the deep south, and all of a sudden out of nowhere last night came, I guess it had to have been a little mini tornado because my backyard is just chewed to bits. But other than that, I'm good. It's all fine.
Good.
I'll be out in the yard this weekend cleaning up.
Well, that's right, Walton. I know what you'll be doing this weekend, and that's cleaning up that mess out there. Fortunately, we don't have to deal with such a thing this weekend. We have quite clear skies here. But no, I'm doing great. And you know, we talked, like you said, a little bit in the virtual green room about And I hate to say that summer's almost over. I mean, we do have a few more weeks left before it's officially.
Right.
It is officially over. But I do think it's, you know, I'm seeing it in with my clients that. For those that have, you know, completed their vacation time, they're really looking to the fall now as to, you know, we're about to move into the last quarter of the year, and what are we to do as far as, you know, to ramp up business, keep, you know, faces and name in the spotlight. And so I'm really excited to talk to you about that today.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned autumn. Yeah, I was out yesterday running errands and meeting with some local clients, and I walked into, I think it's a little Kirkland store. I needed some candles, of all things. I just needed a break. I walked in there, and I was instantly assaulted with orange pumpkins. They were everywhere. You know, ceramic pumpkins, wire pumpkins, cotton pumpkins. Are you kidding me? It's not anywhere near Halloween yet, but are you noticing that people are just maybe trying to get into that kind of autumn mindset a little bit early this year?
Well, you know, I really think, you know, part of it is, of course, you know, economical, you know, the way the economy is and the kind of fear that the media keeps putting out there as far as, you know, are we about to go into a double-dip recession or what's going on?
Right.
So I think many companies are beginning to, I think it's personally premature marketing, but yes, I'm definitely seeing. You know, like we haven't even finished with back to school, and we're already talking about
Labor Day.
Halloween. You know,
yeah, I know. I was talking with three other ladies. We were in there, and I noticed the look on their face because they had the same appalled expression that I feel certain was on my face.
Yeah.
And being in the South, we just chat. You know, nobody's a stranger to us. And I looked at these three ladies. I said, what time of year is this? I mean, isn't it? I mean, we had this big conversation in the store about really none of us bought any of it. We were kind of ticked off. Yeah, I mean, not mad. We weren't mad, but we were just, we felt like we were being manipulated, I think is the easiest way to put it. So none
yeah,
of us bought
anything
that, in that,
that
particular
is, that's
corner.
Part of marketing, unfortunately, is, you know, subliminal advertising, marketing manipulation.
Right.
But however, when it's obvious, then they're not doing a good job.
No,
I mean,
none of us. Nobody bought anything in that section of the store. We went to, you know, the other section where we weren't being assaulted,
which
was kind of interesting. I thought I was the only one that was kind of mean-minded that way, but apparently not.
Yeah. Well, it's
so
even
it
like when you start seeing Christmas advertising, you know, it's a promotion. You have to be in the spirit before, to me anyway, before you really can be purchasing those things. And, you know,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of
yeah.
us who end up doing last minute because by the time we've watched, you know, six to eight weeks of promotion and
mm-hmm.
we keep thinking, oh, well, we can just put that off because it's not for another 6 to 8 weeks. You know, everyone's prematurely
right.
marketing.
Right.
And then we end up doing last minute things because all of a sudden it's there.
Well, and that leads me back to PR. I mean, how does something like this affect your particular clients when they're working on their public relations for the rest of the year, for the last quarter?
Yeah, well, in PR it's a little bit different because, you know, you're generally dealing with placing your story in the media. So as much as on a retail level, you know, we're definitely seeing products, you know, being put out there, you know, way ahead of time. With the media, they kind of have a schedule that they have to be working with. And so, you know, if October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know, that's the official national, you know, date, then the media is going to report on breast cancer awareness during the month of October. You know,
right.
and so for those people who are involved, whether it's medically, whether it's clinically, whether it's support, counseling, manufacturing, you know, that particular month is all about breast cancer awareness. And so, in a way, it makes it a little easier on a PR level to understand that and to know, you know, how do I gear up for that particular
right.
subject.
Because you have some idea what the true...
Event.
Right, you have some idea what the true milestones are.
Then you know kind of what you're aiming for. Well, you
right.
know, for instance, if, you know, if you want a TV story, you know, or you have something that is applicable, and I'm using breast cancer awareness just because it seems to be one that a lot of people have an understanding of, you know, then if it's a TV story, then it's going to fall within the month of October. However, if you have something that you want to be taken to the media, say for a women's magazine, well, in June and July, they are working on October issues. So on a PR level, you need to be thinking 6 months ahead of when an actual date, you know, is the right date with the women's magazines because it takes that long to produce a national glossy magazine.
Right. Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, you know, and so it is very strategic on a PR level with, you know, again, you might not necessarily put your product in front of somebody, like I said, on a retail level, but in order to be in the media on a timely level, then you really need to understand how they work.
Right. Well, Angela, what makes a good PR story, then? How do you craft and pitch a story to these magazines?
You know, the way that it really works is, I mean, there's definitely a formula in how stories are reported, and there is a formula on how you write and craft and pitch a story to the media, but it's really understanding what is your story, who does it affect, you know, what is the demographic of consumers that this story affects, and which publication, station, or, you know, network is most applicable with their viewership or readership to this story.
Can you give me yeah, it does.
Yeah,
can
so
you give me
kind
a
of
for
the
instance
beginning. So,
or
you know, it's like you have to know who your audience is.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of the difference of, for instance, if you have a business story and say you're a financial advisor, you have a business story, well, now is kind of a perfect time for you to put yourself out there as an expert,
mm-hmm.
especially with the way the stock market's been this week and, you know, all the changes. And so this is a good time to really try and put yourself out there as an expert within the financial realms. But if you, say, perhaps are in the accounting taxes of the financial industry, you know, well, of course, by January, you know, we're going to be talking about, you know, filing of income taxes. And, you know, and so, again, it's understanding that the timeliness of, you know, like the preparation for income tax to make sure you get it filed on time by April 15th.
Sure.
However, you wouldn't be taking that story to the sports writer,
no,
of a local person, because, again, their demographic is people who are interested in sports. Not to say that people who are interested in sports are not interested in finances. It just wouldn't make sense for that section,
right,
of the paper.
Well, that's not the resource that they would go to, obviously.
Yeah,
if they're interested in taxes, they'd
go
somewhere. Right, right. Well, that,
you know,
makes
and,
perfect
and
sense.
And the same with, you know, it wouldn't make sense, perhaps, to take that story, you know, to, you know, the beauty writer of a fashion magazine. You know, do you want to be calling more features and say, hey, I've got this great story about, you know, how to prepare for taxes. It affects women, all working women, you know, and so, the, you know, what section of your magazine would my story be most applicable for, and who would I talk to about that?
Oh, okay. So now let me ask you this, and this has always been a question for me and for my clients. Is really, I think I know the answer to this one, but I'm going to ask it anyway. PR seems to be kind of who you know and how you know how to do it. So should somebody, let's just do a case study here. I've got several clients who are speakers. They're on the speaker circuit. They're trying to get more business. They're desperate to get their stories out there, but they can't seem to do it. And frankly, I don't know how to do it. So when I need something like that, I go to somebody like you who does know what they're doing. How is it a good idea when you're first starting out to try to do these things on your own? Or should you just say, listen, this is an investment in my business. This is an investment in who I'm becoming as a speaker, as an author. I need professional help. I mean, what is the best avenue to take?
Well,
or is it a mixture of both?
The answer to that question is PR is something that is long-term.
Right.
So when you hire a PR agency, they're not going to, I mean, they're just not going to get you on television overnight. Now, I always tell new clients coming to our agency that it takes us the first 30 days of a PR contract to get to know you, to understand where you're headed, what your goals are, you know, what kind of stories do we have to work with, and to then develop and craft those press releases, messages that we're then going to send out to our contacts in the media. We work on a one-year contract, and the reason we do that, like I say, with the women's magazines, they're 6 months ahead of us. And so anything we did today, you know, we're looking at 6 months before you're going to see that story. So PR is an investment that, to me, in order to have a great PR campaign, you have to be ready. You have to be ready in your business. You have to be ready financially, because it's a commitment to a long-term investment. And you have to be ready and poised with your messages and understanding and knowing why you're doing that. Generally, when a client comes to us, they already have a lot of the other elements in place as far as website, collateral, social media, you know, media, Facebook. I mean, they've already got those things going. And then they generally have a strategy, or they're ready to develop a strategy as to what are my next steps. So it's like it's a bit of a double-edged sword, because you have to be ready, and again, financially. Well, for many small business owners, they have a real tight budget that they're working on until they begin to grow and expand their business.
Right.
So in that case, I definitely feel, you know, that you can do somewhat of your own PR and networking and making contacts locally. If you have an event, if you have a speaking engagement within a key city or within an area, then you can put together, and I have a book, Lights, Camera, Action, where it kind of outlines how to do a fact sheet, how to do a media alert. So those are things that if you can take the time personally to call that publication, ask who would be the calendar person or the features for business writing or whatever the subject is, and then put together a fact sheet, a media alert with all of the details as outlined in the book, then you can begin to do your own PR. And obviously it's far more economical if you can do it yourself. However, it's a time thing too. PR does take
right.
time.
Yeah. That's why people come to a virtual assistant. They may be able to do it on their own, but oh my gosh, what should you be doing on your own and what should you outsource?
Yeah,
what should
you
hand to the professionals?
Yeah, and
so,
you know,
yeah,
like,
I definitely understand.
People, oh, well, like, you know, I'm not sure. Maybe I'll have my office manager do that. And it's like, you know what, your office manager is going to be so resentful to you because she's already got a job and it's got nothing to do with PR. And so, you know, unless you were going to take the time to send her to a course to train her, then she doesn't know what she's doing any more than you do. And it's not as simple as just pushing a button and the media want to talk to you. I mean, I put a press release out yesterday, which was actually for a friend of mine, and I did it more for personal. And I it was on a new yoga DVD, and it's Stretching for Seniors. And this morning I came in, and there is an email from a health writer at the Globe magazine, which is tabloid, but it's huge.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's huge. And as much as, the whole front of it is tabloid, when they write about health things, they're quite serious in how they write. They don't write in that tabloid fashion. So then
really?
She just wrote
back. I didn't
back.
Know that. I've never read it, but I'm aware of it.
I have because we work with a reporter there. You know, it's hard to kind of get past the UFOs and the celebrity things and all that stuff. But the health, you know, the health section is really good. But and so she wrote back and said, "Oh, is this something that we could turn into an article?" So I wrote back, "Absolutely. You know, the instructors can guide you through what those steps are, and we could turn this into an article." Because, of course, I mean, they have a massive circulation, several million readers.
Really?
You know, and so then she wrote back and said, "Great, I do yoga, and I could easily translate it, so let me just get clearance from my, you know, supervisor here, you know, senior editor, and I'll be back in touch with you." Now, my friend, the small business owner, could never have done that on her own.
No, I wouldn't think so.
You know what I mean? And they actually did with this DVD. They put it on PR Web, which is kind of a paid internet, and they really got no pickup from it, whereas this personal contact of ours, who we work with all the time, and not necessarily on DVDs or yoga, but she's a health writer, saw it, liked it, it appealed to her, she has a personal interest, she has good rapport with us, she knows we deliver, you know, with our sources, and my friend will probably get a great article out of that particular connection. Which, again, I was doing it as a favor, just, hey, let me put it out there, let me see what happens. Now, that, I mean, they just finished the DVD 2 weeks ago, so that for a small business like them is like, wow, if this comes through, that would be a great PR opportunity for them.
That's interesting.
So that, does that answer your question? I mean, it's kind of that is, it's like, you know, you can try this on your own, but you really need to know what you're doing. And so even if you do want to try it on your own, you might be best for, you know, at least, like I said, to take a course. We offer a one-day training course for small businesses to teach them how to do PR on their own. And then we consult with small businesses at least to give them tips too.
Right, right. Angela, while you're talking about this DVD, which I find fascinating, I almost never watch the news. I don't like to watch the news. I really don't like to watch much TV. I'm one of those rare people. It's just not visually stimulated, but you give me the written word and I'm there. I love to read.
Yes.
So one of my go-to places, and I have no idea how I stumbled across this, is the Daily Mail UK.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not... it's like some of it's okay and some of it's like, oh my God, but it's my light entertainment, if you will. And I think, and I'm not sure this is where I saw this story yesterday or the day before, about a 60-year-old woman who was training, her 90-year-old mother. They were running on the beach. I think this lady is considered one of the oldest athletes in the world. She's in top-notch shape. And both of these women are just phenomenal athletes. I mean, that's a great story. I don't know, and I'll have to go find the story. I can send you a link to it once I backtrack and figure out where I saw it. But I remember looking at that thinking, wow. I mean, that's one of the stories that I read on this fluff website that really got my attention. So how did that story get to them? I'm dying to know.
Yeah, and possibly through a PR person. Now, it is interesting that you bring up Daily Mail UK because, you know, there is, like, we work with them quite often. And a lot of times with Daily Mail, they will pick up stories from other kind of big news organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a story, which, I mean, this is such a crazy story. We have a plastic surgeon that we work with in Beverly Hills. And I got a call from a reporter contact at FoxNews.com. And she said, you know, with this whole wedding thing that took place with, you know, Prince William and Princess Catherine, and, you know, the biggest news that's come out of that wedding is Pippa Middleton, the sister.
Yeah. Her,
she's
her
gorgeous.
Mind.
She's got this great body. And
both of those girls are gorgeous.
Yeah, you know, and so the question from the reporter, because this Hollywood, and this Beverly Hills plastic surgeon that we work with puts out this report every year that we put out for him called Hollywood's Hottest Looks. And it's kind of like, you know, if you could, you know, look like anybody, who would you want to look like? Or whose eyes do you like? Or whose nose do you like? And they ask these questions to their patients. And because patients come in and say, I want a nose job and I want my nose to look like, you know, Nicole Kidman. To which then the doctor
a picture of, you know, to your hairdresser and saying, making my very curly hair look like Jennifer Aniston. Like,
exactly, you know. And it's like, you know what, and then the doctor, you talk to the doctor to say, well, you know, the Nicole Kidman-shaped nose would look perfect on your face, or to say the Nicole Kidman nose would not look perfect on your face, you know.
Right.
You've got to be in balance and harmony, but they understand at least what the patients are like. And so we put out this report. So, anyway, so Fox News call about Pippa Middleton, this amazing body that she has, and so this physician, you know, I put him on the telephone with the reporter, and he answered her questions, and she did the interview, and then she launched that story on FoxNews.com, I think it was like July 29th. That story has been picked up by at least 70 other news outlets worldwide. So it appeared in the Daily Mail. So the Daily Mail then picked up the Fox News story because Fox then syndicated it. So if you can get a story placed about you that then goes into syndication, which you don't always know if it's going to happen, but it will get picked up repeatedly. And then this doctor now, I mean, he was in the Daily Mail Australia. He was in People Magazine, South Africa. This week he was interviewed by BBC Radio. He was interviewed by Associated Press, which is another syndication, and they did a video. Mm-hmm. They'll do video syndication. And, I mean, it's just ongoing. And again, that kind of came from a personal contact. So I'm not saying that you couldn't have the look at doing that on your own, but it might take you some time to build those relationships.
Right, right. And here's the thing. I've had clients or people call me and say, listen, I need to get on the Glenn Beck Show, or I need to get on Fox. How do I do that? I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I'm very good at what I do, but I'm not a PR person. So, you know, my thinking is, and you can correct me, please, because I don't know a thing about it. I guess you have to build relationships with those bookers, but then how do you find the bookers? So I don't know that is, in fact, I know I wouldn't take that on for a client. I would. I don't even attempt to take on PR for a client. I can write press releases, happy to do it. If you want true PR, I send them to you. I don't even try.
Well, thank you. I'll send them all.
Not my job.
Like I said, that is something that we do, you know, and we do
it
well.
And you're expert at it. I don't know how to do it.
You know, but it still comes down to what is the story. Now, the Pippa Middleton is, I mean, obviously, that's not a story, you know. I mean, it's not to me anyway. It's tabloid reporting.
Well,
you know, it's sensation reporting. It's what gets ratings. It's what, and it's unfortunate that our society cares so much about things like that. What we do.
Well, you know what I find interesting about all of that is, yes, she's a lovely girl. Here's the thing. This is just my observation. Both of those girls are extremely long-waisted. That's not a real common look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're way long-waisted. They have long legs, and they, you know, they're clothes horses, both of them.
Yes.
Again, it's not a common look. I don't know too many people that, you know, have that long, long torso and, you know, their bottom is kind of lower down than everybody else's.
Yes.
It's just a very different look. I don't see a plastic surgeon making that happen.
No, and the
I mean,
thing
it's
is,
just
like,
their
they
natural body.
Make that happen, but I guess what the story is what both of those girls have is a very lean, natural, athletic
exactly.
type look.
Exactly.
And so
exactly.
it's the difference between, I mean, it's, I can't believe we're having this conversation, but we are, the, you know, the Kim Kardashian rear end, which is round and voluptuous, to
yeah.
the sleek and slender, you know, and...
That's exactly right.
Yeah. yeah, you know, and so for a while there, the whole story, you know, in the news was on, you know, achieving that round and voluptuous rear. And now it's the opposite. But again, it just it gets ratings, it gets readership, it gets eyes
right.
on the news, and you know, and to the media, you know, the more eyes they get, the higher their ratings go. You know, and
right.
the higher their ratings go, the more they can charge in advertising. And so,
gotcha.
You know, it's really all about. So, you know, even if you know the bookers at the shows, unless you have a good story, you're still not going to get on that show.
Gotcha.
You know, and so, and again, when I have had, you know, people come to me and say, well, this PR person promised to get me on Oprah. You can't, Oprah's gone now, you know, which
mm-hmm.
I think for every PR person in the world who's cheering that, you know, the Oprah Winfrey show is over because every client who walks in says, I want to be on Oprah.
Yeah,
not.
I've heard that myself. Can you get me on Oprah? No, I can't.
I know, and it's I mean, I know she's going to be back with her own network, and she'll have
right.
the show starting up again in the fall. But it's going to be a different Oprah than what we've been seeing, you know. But it's again, you're still going to have a good story,
mm-hmm.
and it's just not guaranteed that you're going to make it on a show,
right?
Because you know somebody there, but it does help. It does help.
Yeah.
You get your story and have them say, I don't think it's a good story. How can I make this a good story? You know, what's missing from what I'm giving you?
Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, especially with what we do, a lot of, we may find that they've already done a story similar to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, if they did a story similar to that, and you need to go somewhere else with that pitch, you know? Or ask them what upcoming stories do they have where you might fit into it.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
So, Angela, what are the best ways to approach the media? You know, let's just go back to your book and just assume that people are, you know, people listening to us right now want to hire a PR firm, but they're not quite there, either financially or they don't have everything else in place. Let's assume that they've got your book, and if they don't have your book, where do they go to get it?
Well, they can get the book from, they can call the company directly, 949-768-1522, to order it by phone. There is a website, www.theprnewsroom.com, and they can hire it there. They can do a Google search for Lights, Camera, Action, the power of PR and those websites. And the professionalimage.com website is also, you can order it through there too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the best thing for, you know, for those people who are really, you know, I want to do PR, or I want to, is to understand what PR is. And the book, Lights, Camera, Action, The Power of PR, is kind of a guide, you know, and so it goes through what is PR, how do I do PR, you know, these are just various chapters within the book. Categorizing the media, meaning, you know, well, really, like I said earlier in our conversation, if you're in finance, you want to be looking at business and finance, you know, so CNBC, CNN Money, you know, those types of outlets. If you're in beauty, Vogue, Cosmo, you know, the beauty books, and then developing a list. And so really before you can get going, you need to know who you're talking to. And it's hard work. And you can, like I said, there's kind of online resources with different, you know, PR, press release distribution, but you don't have any control over that. And that, to me, is the hardest thing with PR, is you really have to have control. You know, just putting it out there on the internet doesn't guarantee anything. Because you don't have access to who that's going to. You know, you just kind of buy the service, and that's the end of it. Whereas if you were going to start doing this on your own, then, you know, you start locally. Just start with your local press. Every major or even small town anymore, it seems, everybody has a local ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox TV affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, the Metropolitans, I mean, we have our own affiliates that are obviously much bigger, but everybody has access somewhere to those four affiliate stations. Every town has either a, you know, like the LA Times, we have LA, and then there's different editions in various cities around the LA community, or there's local newspapers too. So I would say the first step is make friends with people at those publications and stations that are close to you. And
now, Angela, how about radio?
Radio too.
Radio,
you know,
as well. Okay.
We have radio stations, you know, and so I would start there. You know, and then there's even, I mean, there's so many internet radio shows now. And even if you go to Blog Talk Radio, you can kind of categorize shows relating to certain subjects. I mean, there's shows on poetry. You know, if you're a poet and you want to talk about your poetry, you know, then contact the people who have the shows on poetry. You know, the shows on everything. And then that's the thing, is that there is media on everything. It's just you have to reach out to them.
Yeah, they don't know you're there.
No. We used to have books.
Unless they just find you.
Back in the day before the internet and before, you know, there was contact management software programs, the media, or this one service, Bacon's it was called, and they've been bought and sold by so many different companies now, but Bacon's used to put out two books every year, each that were about 3.5 inches thick.
Ooh.
One was on magazines and newspaper, the other was on radio and television, and these books would be updated annually with all the stations and reporters and editors and producers, you know, and it was for PR agencies to purchase these books. And it was so funny because I had an intern working with us one summer who was looking through these books and all the different categories. And he became obsessed with the fact that there was a category for funeral parlors, magazines that cater to people in the funeral business. And again, for those of us in other industries, you don't think about that, but
no,
it's a valid business, you know, and these magazines would talk about everything from gold-handled caskets to new embalming solutions and techniques.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, it was just like,
it is a necessary industry.
It's so weird, I know. But
yeah,
I'm
going to
throw
that
out there because it's like whatever you do, there is a media group out there that is looking for your story.
Well, yeah, I think you're right about that. Funerals, oh my God, we all need one. I mean, still.
I know. But it's like no matter what you do, you know, whether it's gardening, whether it's finance, whether it's medical, whether it's hairstyling, there are publications and shows out there that relate to you.
That's, you know, I didn't even think of it like that, but, I mean, what great advice. Angela, what's the difference, because I know that we're shifting, and you just referenced it a little bit, we're shifting away from books like that, you know, kind of like Who's Who. Remember, you'd have to, you know, get your Who's Who directory updated and, you know, buy the new one every year. And, you know, these giant books, I mean, Yellow Page advertising for me is largely dead. I don't know why people advertise in the Yellow Pages, but they still do. But I think the shift now is going away more from these giant books to more of a digital thing, you know, digital downloads. You can get Yellow Pages online. You can get it on your phone now. How is the difference between social media, and traditional media affecting how you work now in the PR industry?
Yeah, I will say, for now anyway, and I do think this will change, we have an aging population.
Right.
The biggest bulk of the population are the baby boomers. Now, the people of that age and older are more likely to pick up the yellow pages, look to the newspaper, look to what I call traditional media, meaning that's what they're used to. They're a bit uncomfortable with the internet or computers.
Right.
You know, and so, again, there is still a demographic of people out there, but as we continue to age, I mean, I think we are going to see more of a continuing shift to the internet.
Right.
As of this moment, I can say with all honesty that if I get a story placed in the New York Times print edition, it is far more powerful than the New York Times electronic edition.
Is that right?
Meaning that people respond by picking up the phone, making an appointment, calling for more information. And I don't really know why. I'm sure there's some psychological answer to the way we take information off of the internet versus when we see it in print or when we see
it
in a news broadcast. Again, I think as our nation ages, the younger people coming up who have basically now grown up on the internet, that's where they're going to find, you know, that's where they're going to go to. That is going to have an impact on them too. And I think it's a difference from, you know, and this is what I'm hearing from my clients is, you know, when they're on a TV show, their phone starts ringing, people start calling them, and people begin to interact in a traditional way. If they're on internet, they might get some emails, you know, but they're communicating differently. So that right now is kind of the difference. I believe that traditional media helps drive social news media. You know, I mean, like Fox News is still Fox News on television. FoxNews.com is another arm, and it is very powerful in circulating and expanding that story more, so you kind of get more press. But I can tell you, when a client is on Fox News television on the 5 o'clock news, they'll get more business than from Fox News.
I'll be darned.
And that's really what it comes down to, is they will get,
really?
At this moment, they get more business.
Wow. See, I would have thought it would have been the other way around. And my reason for thinking that, and I'm glad that you're sharing this with me, because I would not have thought that.
Yeah.
When you go to, let's say, Daily Mail, or you go to Breitbart.com, or even Fox News, or the Huffington Post, when those stories are presented over there, if they're opinion pieces or if they're actual news pieces on any of these sites, they're largely set up in the blog format, which, unless comments are disabled, allows people to comment on them.
Yeah.
And to me, that can be a little bit dangerous because, you know, people, when they're anonymous behind their keyboard and they don't have to actually show their nose up in public to get it bloodied, they can say the darndest things. So to me, it can be kind of dangerous to put some of these things on these news sites and then let people just rip them apart. But, you know, it's a choice, I guess. But it would seem to me, being an internet geek, that the internet's the way to go. Because I don't read publications of any description.
No.
I have never had a newsletter, a subscription in my life. I just don't read them.
Yeah, and I think what it is too is, and whether, again, I'm sure a psychologist could help us understand this, but I think there must be something. If you see it on television and it piques your interest, you're going to write down the number, or you're going to make a note, and it has a more powerful call to action.
Really?
Meaning it makes you do something. It makes you take the next step if you're interested. And I don't know with the internet if it's like because it's there, it's on a small screen, or you think you can come back to it. That again, or if you write on that blog, it's not private. Versus if you pick up the phone and call, you know,
right?
It's just a different. It hasn't quite gelled yet. And what made me realize this was we had a story last year on a client who was in the LA Times and had a big feature on him in the LA Times, and within minutes of like that story being in, it was a health story in the LA Times, we had calls from KTLA Television, the Today Show, all of these big media that instantly responded. And so it's almost like you want the big media because it attracts all the big media.
Right.
Whereas if you're on a mommy blog, on the internet, I mean, it's great, it's there, but it might not do a lot for you.
Gotcha. So, but basically, you do have to pay attention to both, I would think. I mean, you can't ignore one at the expense of the other. You just need to choose your poison.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't mean poison. pick your best shot there. So
yeah.
you really
and
believe
like,
that
if
the
you
big
have a story that you really think is, and I call it big media, because it's like, you know, those shows are big shows. They have massive viewership, you know,
right.
and again, it's more and more is going to the internet. But I still think the impact it has on people in making a decision, the traditional media is still kind of winning over right now.
You know, you may be right. You made a good point because the other night, I think I was mopping the floor at midnight. Yeah, you know, I do my chores when I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I had on, yeah, I had the TV on largely just to hear something. I wasn't watching anything in particular. And this, don't even ask me what channel it was. I couldn't tell you, but Malibu Pilates chair came on.
Uh-huh.
It was a sales pitch. And, you know, I'm listening with one ear, not paying a lick of attention. I'm mopping and I'm talking to the cats and plotting my, you know, my next move for my next day. And all of a sudden, something they said caught my attention. I went, wait a second. Do you know I still... And I have a steam mop, so I had to turn it off. I'm standing there in my kitchen leaning on my steam mop, very intently listening to this infomercial for Pilates, Malibu Pilates.
Yeah.
Now, I've never done that, but something they said in there really grabbed my attention.
I think we were watching...
Did
Jamie
I order?
Commercial.
No, but I...
Because there was one on the other night
that
I thought, oh, I should buy that Pilates machine.
What, the Malibu Pilates?
Yeah, it was like a QVC on Pilates.
Yeah. Well, this one had Susan Lucci on it, and I'm thinking, who is Susan Lucci? So me being me, I instantly turned around to my computer on my counter and looked up Susan Lucci and realized that, you know, she's Erica Kane on All My Children, something else I've never watched. But I thought, oh, she is so cute. You know, she's just so pretty. And I'm watching them do these Pilates, and I had actually just made a decision that I was going to sign up for Pilates class.
Yeah.
It's $40 a visit, which
I know,
is
it's expensive.
Cheap.
It's so good, though. I mean, it is.
I know. I just thought, oh, my gosh, do I need to take the time out of my day? I already have a gym membership.
Yes.
You know, I've already, you know, got my little mini rebounder. Do I really want to drive to the next town, spend $40, come back home, and go back, you know, because I'm told that you have to do it about 2 times a week for it to be effective.
Yes.
And I started doing the math in my head, and then I did the math on this thing, and I went, I'm thinking about ordering the darn thing. I'll let you know how it works out.
So. Yeah. I know.
But, it's, you know, for the little chair, I think it's, and I did send an email. This is how I research things. I did send an email to several of my clients that I've built websites for who are Pilates instructors.
Oh, okay.
And two of them said, oh, gosh, yeah, get it.
Okay.
One said, oh, no. So,
yeah.
You know, 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about going back and ordering it.
Yeah, well, let me know how you do because I was watching the same thing and almost signed up for it myself because I was taking Pilates some years ago and it is expensive,
yeah.
But it is such a great workout. And as long as you're on the, I mean, I like the machine Pilates better than the mat Pilates, but that's a personal choice.
Right.
But, you know, no, it definitely is. You know,
now,
one
if
thing
I'd seen
that
on the internet, I would have ignored it probably.
Yeah.
You're right. They had to actually reach to the TV screen and, hey, Denise, quit mopping. Pay attention to me. So,
has been kind of proven, and I am sure it is because of the impact television has had in our households, is that the majority of people are visual learners,
mm-hmm.
or they are motivated more visually and audibly And many people don't read. I mean, it's kind of a dying, unfortunate, dying thing.
I know.
A lot of people don't read. They skim headlines, and they listen or watch things in action, which is why television, I mean, it's become, you know, it's become, obviously, I mean, so massively popular.
Right.
And I think with the internet is, you know, especially if you have to read it.
So yeah, and then you've got the whole YouTube phenomenon. I mean, people love YouTube.
Exactly. Huh. You know, and it's like, I know there is statistics that show something like a website with a video element gets 3 times more attention or something like that than a website without a video element. You know, people want to, they just want to click on something that tells them what it is instead of them having to read and think about it. So, you know, I do think that is why this, you know, traditional media, and now if you notice in like all of the shows, all of the news, they all lead then to the internet to find out more, to learn more, go to our Facebook page, go to our webpage, because then it gives the more in-depth information so that they don't have time, you know, during several minutes of that story to give that information.
Yeah. And I've noticed, too, that they're streaming live after the show.
Yes.
Which is interesting. And even some of the few programs that I do watch, I'll watch Suits or NCIS or something like that. And it'll say, you know, go here and watch, you know, cast interviews and streaming. I mean, they're very much utilizing the power of the internet with visuals. So you're right. I mean, they're not saying, hey, go read our, you know, the actors' bios here. You're getting to watch them chat.
Yes.
Which I haven't done, but apparently a lot of people, you know, think that's a pretty cool thing to do, and it does make sense.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, you see it with Oprah. It's like, you know, Oprah was powerful because people love watching Oprah. They love Oprah. You know, millions and millions of people love Oprah. You know, or they love Regis and Kelly. You know, I mean, I'm a bit like you, and I think because I work so much with the media, I don't, you know, spend as much time watching television. Mm-hmm. If I do, I'm usually watching, you know, some kind of a crime show. You know, something that takes me out of my world.
Right.
Or I'm watching cartoons, which really takes me out of my media world. But, it, you know,
I love Bugs Bunny.
I'm sorry.
Bugs Bunny's my favorite. I love Bugs Bunny.
Oh, I know.
He's my favorite.
I do too. I love all those old cartoons.
Yep.
You know, but then it really is that a lot of people, they like to watch the television for particular, you know, so they're like, some people love to watch Brian Williams, you know, because he's such a great reporter, you know, and people begin to, you know, they become fans of those people, you know, who are on the news. And those people become personalities and celebrities themselves. And, you know, there is a lot to be said for the whole, you know, people, you know, and celebrity.
The interaction, right.
Yeah.
So that takes us right back to the story and getting the story into the hands of some of these people and, you know, making sure that, you know, people can actually see and hear it, I guess. Now, I'm the opposite. I would rather read. You know, I'm one of those few people that when I land on a website that says, you know, click here to view the video, I don't want it. I'll go look for the transcript.
Yes.
Videos just bore me stupid. I don't know why.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a visual learner. I'm just not.
Yeah. And we all learn differently, but I do think
we
do. There's a bigger number of people. You know, and again, there's just the changes in society, which, you know, I certainly cannot explain, but, you know, we have become kind of an ADD nation, whether we have ADD or not.
And
everything is delivered to us so fast. I mean, even when you watch, which you don't watch, but if you did watch the shows like Entertainment Tonight or Extra or The Insider, which are really like fast-paced entertainment news programming, that is... It's like, how do you learn anything from this? How do you get any news? It's just like headline after headline after headline. It's so quick, it's so fast. But the way that people are learning is and communicating is much faster. You know?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh.
Well, my question is, if that is the case, and I do see that's the case, you see it on the news sites. I mean, they'll put out a headline, and pretty soon they're redacting that headline.
Yes.
Or reversing themselves or saying, oops, sorry, we weren't quite ready to report that.
Yes.
So
yeah.
How do you, in PR, how do you overcome, you know, that need for speed?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, one thing is with again, learning how to deal with the media is, and again, some of with our clients, we really do a lot of in-depth to get to know them. So,
right.
For instance, when Holly McKay from Fox, you know, somebody calls me with a story, obviously I instantly get the client on the phone with me, on the phone with them, or
mm-hmm.
something. Now, she might say to me, which often, this is kind of a new thing a lot of times now in the media, especially for written stories, they'll say, I don't have time to interview them. Here are my questions. Can you get me out by 5?
Wow.
So for our clients who, you know, we've had for 23-plus years and they're used to having a good 30-minute chat to explain what they do, this is kind of a harsh world for them because they're not feeling the connection.
Right.
You know, but
right.
It's the way that some of these reporters are working. So then I, you know, then take the questions to the client, get the client to respond either verbally to me over the phone, and I'll write out the answers, or and then let the client approve them. You know, or the client mm-hmm. will write out the answers and get them right back to the reporter. And then you see these stories as quoted by, well, that reporter
really?
Never even had a conversation with the person. They just took, the, you know, the quote that was given to them.
That seems a bit dishonest to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
it really does.
Yeah. I mean, on our part,
I mean, I understand why
honest,
they do it, but...
You know, it's honest answers that were given to them, and then they are quoting them,
right.
You know, verbatim from
right.
what the answers were given. But, yeah, it's like, how do they know that person...
Well, that's just it. I mean, I'm sure that they trust you because they've worked with you, but...
Exactly.
There are a lot of unscrupulous people out there.
Yes.
So that that bothers me a little bit,
yeah.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
You know, but again, is you know, back to your listeners here, is, you know, you have to be ready to react fast. When the media want to interview you, or they have picked up on your pitch, or they call you, communicate with you, is I always say, their deadline was yesterday. They needed it
mm-hmm.
yesterday. So you better get it to them real fast. Because, and we've had, what, you know, clients over the years who don't think they can take a week or two to get back to somebody. Well, forget it. By that time, they've moved on to another source.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and it's also, you have to, if when dealing with the media, you have to take your ego out completely. Because as much as it's about you, it's about them. And meeting their deadlines, getting them the story that they want, and the more that you accommodate them, the more information you can give them, the better story you will get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas again,
so in other words, they don't have time to come back and say, they don't have time to look at what's not there and ask more questions. They
exactly.
can just work with what they've got. Okay.
Yes. So I always say, you know, like with any story we do, I always make sure I send the client picture, I always send the client phone number, the website, the full
mm-hmm.
name, their title, just so they have it. If
right.
we show up on
they don't have
set,
to hunt.
I hand them a piece of paper in big letters with the full name, the title, the phone number, the website, just so, again, it's to make sure that you cover as many bases as you can. And the more you feed them, hopefully the more they'll use.
I would think so. And, you know, that's a good PR, you know, tip, particularly if you're doing it on your own. Make sure that you're giving them everything that they need, plus maybe just a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, clearly
and
you don't want to give them a whole dissertation,
yeah.
but you want to make sure that they don't have to hunt you down, they don't have to look up your telephone number,
yeah.
that your email is not spelled incorrectly. That's a big one. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
That your picture's there, your bio's there, and your story's there. Is that about right?
Yeah. And it may be that, you know, your first interaction was with an assistant.
Right.
And then once the story's approved and you go or you're interviewed or you're on set or whatever it is, you know, you have a more senior person who's handling, don't assume that the assistant gave the senior person all that information.
Mm-hmm.
Be prepared to give it to them again.
Wow.
You know, I mean, again, it really is a lot of double-checking. And, you know, if you look at quotes from, you know, real famous people like Bill Gates and Sir Richard Branson, you know, and you read any of their literature, and PR is the number one thing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I think it was Sir Richard Branson who said, you know, I would step out of any meeting to do an interview with CNN, you know.
Really?
Yeah. And Bill Gates, the same thing. Any media thing, I would step away from whatever I'm doing to take that reporter's call because they understand how powerful it is.
Right. Wow. See, because I don't take a newspaper and I really don't watch much in the way of news, this is fascinating to me. I honestly did not know how powerful they are.
Yeah, well, you live in your small, on-media world. You're very fortunate. I mean, it's so depressing, most of it, so you have to kind of cut through the depressing news that's out there to get to things that are actually interesting. I mean, there's some, you know, there's a lot of great things being reported. You just have to, you know, cut
through them
to get to it.
Yeah, I'm one of those people, you know, you run naked through the house and cover your eyes and say, you can't see me naked. Yeah, I don't want to know all that stuff out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to live in my little internet bubble. I'm happy here.
Yes.
I just don't
your little internet bubble is becoming very powerful.
It is. And I'm not completely oblivious to the world. I am an internet junkie. I am a political junkie. I mean, I am a huge political junkie.
Oh, yeah.
Ask me anything, and I can tell you what's going on there. Now, if you ask me what's going on as, you know, as far as retail and, you know, Hollywood stars, don't know, don't care. We'll never care. But
yes, exactly.
Political,
but there
I'm
are people
there.
Who do, you know, and that's what I say. It's like it's just that understanding of whatever you do, there's an audience out there that's interested.
Right.
You know? You know,
like the people
and you wouldn't be the audience for some people.
No,
you know?
I would not.
And
well, I can
would
tell
I,
you, honest. Yeah, no, it doesn't sound like you would be. I'm one of the probably few people in this country or, you know, any developed country that has never seen the Oprah show.
Oh.
I have never watched Oprah.
Well, I'm sure
I've
you
never,
can
what
get
was
it
the
on
other
YouTube.
One? What was the other one you mentioned? Regis?
Kelly,
I've never seen that one.
Yeah, Regis and Kelly.
Yeah, I've never seen them.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I know who they are, but I've never watched their shows. Or Ellen DeGeneres or anybody else. It's just of zero interest to me.
Yeah. And again, but then obviously there are massive audiences of people who do.
Right. Right. Absolutely.
So there's really something for everybody, you know. Another question I'm asked often is, you know, is TV better than print? And,
yeah.
I don't really think that any one is better than the other than TV is faster to get, you know, when you're pitching because they're immediate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is something that, you know, you can get a great clip of you in action that you can use. Because a lot of TV shows now will say, oh, can you send me a clip of that person being interviewed by another station? Well, if you've never done PR, you don't have that. So, you
right.
know, it's really good to kind of build what we call a sizzle reel on yourself with your different media interviews that you've had. But then print is something that people can carry with them. And I've seen that oftentimes where people will pull out of their, and women seem to do this more than men, where they'll pull out of their purse an article that they've taken from a magazine or they've printed from a newspaper and they've held on to it until they're ready to make that purchase.
Right.
You know,
so, models carrying around their portfolio, their headshots and all of that.
Yes,
kind
yeah.
Kind of the same
you know.
Thing. Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense. We're about to run out of time, but I do want to ask you, do we have time for you to kind of share what the 10 golden rules of PR are, or
absolutely.
Is that another story?
Absolutely. And let me, you know, we'll go through them as quickly without, you know, trying to, so that you can still understand my accent. But these are just
okay.
things. Yes, the 10 golden rules, my 10 golden rules of PR, which is in Lights, Camera, Action, the book, And for those of you that don't have a chance to either write these down, if you can email me also, and I can easily send them to you, or I can send them to you, Denise, if you wanted to send them out to your listeners. Anyway, here we go.
That.
10 golden rules of PR. Number one, appearance and perception are everything. You need to understand how you are perceived by the media. And one of my favorite quotes, and I don't know who actually said this, is you only have one chance to make a first impression. You don't have two, you don't have three, you have one. So how you look and how you are perceived by the media is really important. Number two, before you contact a publication or show, watch the show first or read the publication so you understand how they report. Number three, follow trends in your specialty. Like I said, you know, if you're in the finance industry, there's so much in the news right now about the stock market and economics that, you know, this is breaking news right now. And so this is great timing for somebody in that industry. So understand the timing and the trends in your specialty and what is being reported by the mainstream media. Number four, even though many of us love to email, I think a lot of people hide behind email, and I really believe speaking on the telephone is the best way to get your story pitched and placed. And it's faster, too. It's like once you get a producer on the phone or a writer on the phone and you can pitch them your story, you're done in a couple of minutes. If you email, you've got to wait for them to respond, then you respond, and then they respond back, and it just takes forever. And so the telephone is really, really important. Number five, always have a media kit with you. And a media kit should have your bio, your background, your headshot, and whatever press releases about your business that you have produced, as well as any suitable stories that are current trends. Always have, you know, a good five or six or more on hand. Have your elevator pitch ready. And an elevator pitch is that if you were standing in an elevator and somebody got in who you've never seen before in your life, and they said, "Oh, hi, my name's Joe, who are you?" And you would respond with, "Oh, hey, Joe, you know, my name's Andrew O'Mara. I am with, an, you know," and yada, 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 your PR pitch on who you are, what you do, that you can say in 30 seconds to anybody that you meet. Always have that ready and practiced. Smile. Smiling is so important, and especially when you're talking on the phone, is you always want to come across as being really friendly, really congenial, approachable, affable, and just someone that the media really wants to work with. Another golden rule, honesty, and we just kind of touched on that with, oh, you know, some of these things sound like they could be a little dishonest, but you need to go out with the highest integrity that you're capable of. Be honest with your story, be honest about your product, be honest about how things work, because I'll tell you now, the media, when they do decide to do research and dig, they love to dig up dirt. So, again, you know, don't leave anything deliberately misleading to the media because they'll find out about it. Never negatively comment on any publication, TV show, person, company, or competitor. It's a small world, and thoughtless comments can come back to bite you. So just be careful. I mean, it's that whole thing of, you know, you leave somebody's office, don't start talking about them in the elevator because you never know who that person standing next to you is. The same with, you know, don't go to a TV reporter and say, "Oh, my God, I had such a bad, you know, interview with this person," because they might be best friends. So, again, just keep all your comments to yourself. And lastly, sex sells soap. Very few ideas are new and unique. It really is how you present your story in a timely, trendy, fashionable kind of way that is going to sell that story. So those are my 10 golden rules.
Great. And you know, I've heard a lot of them because they really apply to any industry. I mean,
yes.
It just makes perfect sense. Everything that you just stated is just good common sense with courtesy thrown in. It just makes perfect sense. If you would send this to me, I would love it. I'll share it with my
absolutely.
List,
yes, I will.
Put it on my blog.
Absolutely.
Well, Angela, thank you so much for being with me here today. I had a ball. I mean,
you
gave
me great.
Some information.
Oh, great. I do too. I love being on your show.
Thanks.
And I hope your listeners, you know, have found a few nuggets in our conversation. And
well, I did.
If nothing else, that Pilates is great.
We'll find out how well that TV programming really does work.
But thank you so much
for being with me here today, and thank you, everybody. Oh, listen, before we go, Angela, tell people where they can find you on the Internet.
Oh, yes. Our website is www.theprofessionalimage.com, and the book, Lights, Camera, Action, The Power of PR, can be found on the website that I just mentioned, as well as theprnewsroom.com.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. And the show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and Angela O'Meara wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I'll see you next week. Thank you, Angela.
Great. Thank you so much, Denise. Have a great weekend, too.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.